Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Jenny Clift has more than 30 years' experience in administration, leadership, management, and development of team and corporate culture. She is the owner and general manager of DWM Solutions Proprietary Limited, as well as a speaker and mindset and leadership coach to the IT industry. Her ultimate goal is for DWM Solutions to be recognised as one of the top 50 employers in Australia. And her aim as a speaker and mindset leadership coach is to equip IT business owners with the skills to become highly effective leaders in the IT industry. Outside of DWM, Jenny is actively involved in the community. She's a board member of the Local Learning and Environment Network, a group of organisations and individuals involved in the well-being, education, training and employment of at-risk young people. Hi Jenny, welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. So do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
So right now I am general manager of an IT business. We have 16 staff spread throughout regional Victoria. So we look after a bunch of councils and hospitals, local government. I'm also really transitioning into speaking, particularly to IT people, so business owners, senior management. And I think one of my real passions is kind of trying to change the image that the IT industry has. I actually have no IT skills. Nobody would employ me for my IT skills. Mm-hmm. So my skills are really people and behaviour. So I kind of ended up in this industry through my husband, who's my business partner. We've been working together for 21 years now. But the IT industry has a real image of sort of, you know, the geeky, you know, no personality, can't have a conversation that's not, non-technical, I guess. So that's sort of a real passion. And it also getting IT business owners, most of whom are techs that have started their own business, and getting them out of working in their business and working on their business and letting go. I always say to people, you know, the only way to get control is to let go of control. Actually let the people that you've employed to do their jobs, which for a lot of the people that I work with is a really, really difficult thing for them to do. Their way of doing things is the best way. So it's really working with those people to say, well, you know, if you didn't have to do everything yourself, how would your life be?
Do you want to tell us a bit about your story, where you've been to get to this point?
Okay, so as I said, Nick and I have been working together for 21 years. His background is IT. Mine was HR, admin. So I've worked in Melbourne, Sydney, London, Tasmania, or Hobart. In mainly a lot of, short-term contracting roles. So some of the big, KPMG, I ran their recruitment program. Arthur Anderson, who's no longer around, ran their recruitment program. I've worked for P&O Antarctic Division, NAB, lots and lots of different, Philips Medical Systems. So some of the big organisations. So when Nick came home from work one day, we were living in Sydney. He was on the national management team of one of the big multinational IT companies. He'd been working on a project for 6 months and change of management in the US, and they canned the project. So he came home so disillusioned and said, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want somebody else who doesn't even see me or know me to be calling the shots. So that was sort of the catalyst for starting our own business. We ended up starting our own IT business and contracting back to the company that he'd been working for. So we moved to Tassie when Oscar, who's now nearly 23, he was one, I think. I was pregnant with baby number two, Sam. So we lived down there for a while, set up an office, had a couple of business partners, and ended up 4 years later, we were living in regional Victoria. and discovered that we actually had a third partner that we didn't know about.
Wow.
Who had awarded us the original contract, which, you know, a bit of insider trading and conflict of interest and everything else, but they couldn't see that there was a problem with that. So we actually walked away from the business 6 months after we found out. We tried to buy them out. We tried to sell out. In the end, we literally just walked away with nothing. Decided that if that was their ethics and morals of doing business, we didn't want anything to do with it. So we walked away with nothing, two babies and a couple of cars, and that was, and furniture, and sold a house. And 6 months later, that business went broke without us in it. And probably the best thing, hardest thing we've ever done, but the best thing we ever did. We saw out the non-compete clause. They went broke. In the meantime, we started again as DWM, which is our current IT business, in February 2002, just us. And we've sort of, you know, usual highs and lows of doing business, but best thing we ever did. But at the time, it was incredibly difficult to just walk away from it. You know, our baby, effectively, you know, we'd grown it with very, very little input, and we just said, you know, here, have it. So so that was sort of the catalyst, I guess, for really having to stand on our own 2 feet and not rely on what we perceived to be some support from other people. Nick was always the general manager or CEO. He was sort of the head of the business. He's a bigger personality than me, had the IT experience. But in 2010, we actually employed a business coach, and the first thing he did was swap Nick's and my roles around. So I became general manager. Nick actually sulked for 2 years by his own admission. His handover to me was basically good luck with that. And he sulked for 2 years. So that was a bit of a strain on marriage, business, and probably clients and staff and everybody else. So I actually employed a coach because I needed to step up into the role of general manager, and I didn't know what that meant. I'd always kind of hidden behind Nick in a way. So all of a sudden I sort of had to be out there and be seen. So I employed a coach and then insisted Nick started working with her as well. I think for probably 6 months, he and I would have weekly conversations where he would point out the money that we were paying for the coach. He could perhaps buy a new car that, you know, the monthly payment could cover a new, you know, a car payment for him, or all these other wonderful things that we could possibly do with the money that we were paying the coach. So we'd have the same conversation of, you know, do you think we could do this? No. Oh, okay. So a week later, he'd come back with a new thing, which, you know, just told me that, you know, whatever he was talking about that particular week was how difficult a conversation he'd had with the coach. So eventually, I think he gave up. But that's probably what changed the business from, you know, Nick being the typical tech who, you know, had to do everything himself. His way was the best way, into actually running a business where we now, one of my aims is to be in the top 50 employers in Australia.
Wow.
So I started working on the culture of the business and really looking after our staff and making sure that, and just putting things in place like gym memberships and, you know, we provide lunch for most of our staff. Some days it's sort of semi-funded, I guess. But really just starting to say, well, if we look after our staff, we don't have a product we sell. It's all about the people and the service. So if we can employ great people and look after them so they stay with us, and that will flow through into our clients. And some of our clients actually date back to when Nick was with Unisys back in the 90s. You know, it's the whole business has been built on relationship, on service, you know, loyalty. You know, we care. Our motto is, it's not just business, it's personal.
Yeah, I love that. Did you have like a tipping point for change though, or was it just like a lots of different tipping points that things just, you'd implement change and then go in a different direction from there?
I think the tipping point was really when Nick and I swapped roles. Sort of that was one of them. I think another tipping point for me was the quality of the staff that we were, I guess, attracting. And they probably were on this, you know, sort of law of attraction. You know, they were probably about where we were really at the time too. And that if we wanted to change that, then we needed to change. So what would that look like? You know, what did we want the business to look like, and how were we going to achieve that? And what changes did Nick and I need to make in order to make that happen? And I think it was sort of probably tipping point was a couple of staff that we had real issues with that ended up, as we like to say, we set them free to find an alternative path to success. Yes. And said, well, how, you know, same attitude, same crap, but different faces. So how can we change this?
So this pathway that you're going on with the speaking route, is it been something that was like a lightning bolt that hit you that you wanted to do it, or did it lead up by a slow rumble coming up on you thinking, yeah, that's the way I want to go?
I think it came about through a couple of opportunities through, you know, perhaps software companies that we work with, of opportunities to speak about their product or at their events about our business and how we do things. And I discovered that I actually loved it and got such great feedback from people that, again, I think the industry wants to change. You know, there's still a lot of old sort of players in it that don't, but I think the younger ones coming through do want to see change. And, you know, IT industry probably is one of the most ones susceptible to change, which is interesting when you look at, you know, behaviour types that most people in IT are very, very certainty driven. They like the same, they don't like change. But our industry changes every day. I think it was that opportunity to speak, getting up in front of people and discovering that I actually really like doing that, and that I think I have, we've got so much experience to share that, and we're willing to do that.
So what about, on a personal note, have you had challenges along the way that made you feel like throwing in the towel?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever felt like throwing in the towel except for fleeting moments. I don't think it's ever lasted for a long period of time. Often it's to do with, you know, with issues with probably issues with staff or cash flow, financial type issues where you think, oh, you know, I might just go and pack shelves at Woolworths. It would be easier. Nick's thing is always that he's going to go mow lawns. Mm-hmm. So I think fleeting moments. But, yeah, there's nothing ever really been, you know, that's it, we're done. Even when we walked away from that original business, it was see out the non-compete period, the 12 months, which it was only 6 when that business actually went broke anyway. Even then, the plan was always to go back into business on our own. It's incredibly difficult and there's so many challenges, but Nick and I are very, very driven, and both of our sons are as well, very, very driven by variety, adventure, challenge. And to go back and work for somebody, I don't think Nick and I or I would be very good employees now by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I love how you're driven by your adventure and variety too, and you know that, and you do things to align with that. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. And I think even that in itself is quite different in our industry where, you know, it's very, very very old school in a lot of ways, and people are still doing the same thing as they did 20 years ago, which is crazy in this industry because, it, like I said, it just changes so quickly.
So what keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? Have you got a big vision for the industry, or what is it?
We've got a big vision for us. We use the 7-car garage analogy. And we're into cars, so we do actually want a physical 7-car garage where we can, you know, choose a different car for each day. But we actually haven't been able to narrow it down to 7 because I think both of us want about 5. Mm-hmm. But we also use that as an analogy for 7 sources of income. So our IT business we see as one source of income, and we'd like to get that to the point where we're not needed every day, that we can put a manager in or our current, a couple of our staff, we've sort of got earmarked that they will move into management roles. Mm-hmm. My speaking is another source of income, as is, and Nick's doing the same thing. He was in, where was he? Singapore? No. some Philippines, just recently speaking at an event there. So that's another source of income. Coaching for me is another source of income. So we want seven sources of income, you know, maybe invest in some startups, but we really want seven sources of income so that we are able to, again, meet that, need for variety and challenge. But that we don't have day-to-day roles in a traditional business where we need to come to work at 8 o'clock and finish at, 7 o'clock like we did last night. But also, both Nick and I want to work with other IT businesses that we are helping other business owners really, achieve their dreams as well. So it's not just about us, it's also about other people.
What's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to in the future then?
I've actually got an opportunity at the moment to speak at an industry event in Miami in September next year, and Richard Branson is the keynote speaker. So that for me is probably the most exciting thing on the near horizon. One of the things on my bucket list is to go to Necker Island, which is Branson's private island. So I've decided that instead of just going there, and it's always been going there with him, but I've decided now that I want a personal invite. Aim low. but I think just sort of being recognised too as a leader in the industry, I've always sort of looked on myself as, because I don't have any IT skills, that I sort of didn't really have much to offer. But what's happened in the last couple of years and, just the changes in me, I have... I guess I've realised that I do have quite a lot to offer, and having opportunities like this one next year to share the skills and the knowledge that I have is probably the most exciting thing.
Yeah, that certainly is exciting to have a personal invite. I love it.
Yeah. Aim low.
Exactly, but that's what a bucket list is for, isn't it? To put all those things all together and just to keep aiming for the stuff.
Absolutely.
That. Do you have a written out bucket list?
Absolutely, yeah. So one is Necker Island. I'd also like, I'm a bit of an animal lover, so I'd also like to have a retirement home for old dogs, the ones that end up at the pound that nobody will adopt because they're old. We actually have that at home. We have a 13-year-old fat, brown, one-eyed dog who's currently wearing a cone on his head because he just had a tumour cut out of his foot. And we have an 11-year-old that everybody thinks is a puppy, but he's sort of starting to get a bit of arthritis in his back. And we always say he's a supermodel. He's very beautiful, but he's not very smart. so they're probably the big things. The seven-car garage, both, physical and the income one. So yeah, a few things on my bucket list, and travel. We just love to travel. I've been to about 28 countries, and we have an apartment in Bali that we go to once or twice a year. So more travel, Europe, a couple of months in Europe. We've hosted 9 exchange students over the last few years. So we'd like to go and visit all of those and meet their real parents as opposed to their Aussie parents. Lots of stuff on the bucket list.
I love it. I love bucket lists. I love asking people if they've got a bucket list or not. Some people have it in their head, other people have it written down, but it's just, I think it's such a great tool to have.
Well, we have it, although we've just moved, but we have it sort of up in our bathroom every day, just, what we want to achieve over the next couple of years. And it's really specific. It's got dates, very, very detailed, and then the bucket list. And Nick, just trying to think what Nick's are. One of his, he wants to go into space. So we're very goal-driven and always very, very clear. And we know if we look back and say, when have we not achieved, when have we really struggled, it's when we haven't been clear on those goals and we've achieved what we've been aiming for, which is nothing.
All right, let's have a change in pace. We'll have the speed round.
Okay.
All right, here we go. What's your favourite book?
Life in Half a Second by Matthew Mikovich.
I haven't heard of that one.
Very cool.
Who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
Cindy Newstead, who is a personal stylist. I started working with her about 11 years ago as a stylist, and we've become really, really good friends. But she helped me change my my appearance, but also my attitude and a whole bunch of other stuff.
What daily ritual works best for you?
Writing lists. Just what do I need to do today? Just that old to-do list and tick it off. And I'm one of those ones who I'll do something that's not on the list, so I have to write it on the list so I can tick it off.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I love that. It's that feeling of accomplishing something. You have to show it, don't you?
Absolutely. Oh, I've got to put that on there. Yeah.
Love it. What's your favourite food?
Anything Asian. Thai, Vietnamese, yeah, anything. And we've just moved to inner city, sort of western side of the CBD in Melbourne. We're just near Footscray, and there's pho restaurants, and we're very excited about trying all of them because, yeah, we just love that style of food and travel to anywhere Asia.
Yeah, yeah. So talking about that, country or city, which you prefer?
I'm actually going to take a rain check on that one. We've spent the last 21 years living in the country. And we have literally just in the last few days moved to the first time really ever we've lived. I know Sydney, we lived pretty close to the city, but we're right on the city fringe. So I think we're going to love living in the city again.
Yeah. What's your biggest piece of advice to give to others to help them make change?
I think believe in yourself. That's probably the thing that, you know, looking back, if I had believed more in myself and seen what I was capable of earlier, I would have made different choices and just taken on bigger challenges and not backed away from things. So, yeah, I think just believe in yourself and write those goals down and just go and get it done.
Yeah, nice. Okay, last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
I think my biggest issue was believing, I honestly believed that everything that we had was due to Nick and that I was kind of along for the ride and really didn't contribute to any of it. And it's funny, when I said that to him, he kind of looked stunned and said that, you know, he had a pretty rough upbringing. Not rough as in terrible, just rough as in the family home he refers to as the glorified chook shed, chicken shed, which is not all that far from what it was. So, and we had a magnificent house just near the river in Moama. And I did all of that, but I didn't see that. So I think that if I had that time machine, I would say, well, you know, you did this, you know, that you weren't just along for the ride, that, you know, everything that we did, I was there and I helped achieve it. And again, that, you know, believe in yourself, you know, do, you know, just get shit done.
Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Jenny. Would you like to give
You're
us the
welcome.
Best yeah would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
On Facebook is probably the best place. Jenny, my mother wanted to be different and spelled my name with one N, so it's J-E-N-I. So it's Jenny Clift, IT business consultant and speaker. It's the best place to find me.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, Igniters, Jenny has shared with us what drives her, variety and adventure, and the importance of knowing your drivers. She also has a great bucket list. I love how she is so goal-driven too. If you want to learn more about Jenny, go to her Facebook page, Jenny Clift, IT Business Consultant and Speaker. And for more about me and my podcast, go to ignitepodcast.com.